This is a CBC podcast.
Join the tour of duty with the unit in Kandahar. Afghanida, the complete award-winning CBC radio drama, is available on iTunes. It's a grunt's eye view of the conflict, the chaos, the violence. Go to cbc.ca/Afghanida.
Tara McKenzie isn't a chef, but she's certainly a lover of good food. So keen is her interest that a year ago she launched her own food blog called The Frilly Apron. That's where she shares great recipes and mouth-watering photographs of her culinary creations. She's also interested in using fresh local product as often as possible. She blogs about the great surprises she receives in her weekly delivery from Real Food Connections. This week she's getting even more local, right in her own backyard. Tara McKenzie has added a new page to her blog. It's The Frilly Garden, and it chronicles her efforts to get back into vegetable gardening. She's been breaking her back all week trying to get the plants in the ground. Tara McKenzie is our guest on Homegrown this week. She lives in McLeod Hill, just outside of Fredericton, and that's where we reached her. Hello.
Hello.
Just how sore are you after preparing your garden and planting?
I am still sore, and we are at least 4 days out.
It is tremendously back-breaking work, isn't it?
It really is, yes. But worth it, hopefully.
Now, what made you decide to get back into vegetable gardening?
We really enjoy it, and the reward is just, it's great when you go out in August and you can go and pick something off of a vine or throw it into a salad. It's really great to be able to do that.
And you don't find the novelty ever wears off?
No, we quite like it. We've actually even gone the other direction, and now we're expanding more and more every time we plant the garden. So, yeah.
See, now I find when I plant vegetables, and I agree with you, it's very gratifying to go out and get some and put it right to the table. But it's also equally nice to drive down the road 5 minutes and see somebody on a vegetable stand sell a bag of beans for $5. And you think, why did I go do all this work when for $5 I can get beans for 3 weeks?
Yes, I know. So we did actually think of that when we were planting some of our things. So some of the things that would be a little more labor-intensive that we know that we can get very easily locally and usually much cheaper than at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
we decided not to plant those ones.
Now, how difficult was it to prepare the garden plot after it had been out of use for a couple of years?
It wasn't too bad. We actually were lucky enough to be able to borrow a tiller from my father to till up the ground initially this year, so that helps a lot. And then, of course, we had to dig through it a little bit and pick out any of the rocks that would have come up with, you know, frost the past couple of years. And so it was a little bit difficult after not having used it for a couple of years, but it wasn't too bad. I would say we probably spent a good solid afternoon just getting the plots ready this time.
What do you think of tilling?
It's hard work.
Boy, is it ever,
even with the machine, but it is hard work, but it does save you a lot of backbreaking work too.
Now, how did you select the varieties of vegetables you wanted to grow? Because I noticed on your website you have a very long list.
We do. We chose based on, we went to our local greenhouse to pick out our starter plants this year. And we really asked him, what are some things that are just a little bit different that we can plant that we don't always see in our produce section? So from there, he gave us some tomatillos. We got bronze fennel, which is actually an heirloom fennel, an heirloom herb, which was very cool. Lots of different varieties of heirloom tomatoes, which we always love. So that's what we did. We looked for the things that we can't normally get.
You're growing eggplant. That's pretty ambitious.
Yes, and I'm hoping it will work.
Are there any plants you have doubts about?
Depending on the summer that we're going to have, some of the things that grow better in warmer climates, like our tomatoes and things like that, we are a little bit concerned if we don't have a really nice sunny summer. Sometimes they can suffer a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
We'll just use green tomatoes instead of red tomatoes, yeah.
Well, I noticed that you have a couple of varieties of very hot peppers. I put some in, but I thought, man, it's going to have to be one hot summer to get these to go.
Well, we are actually going to plant those in pots.
Ah.
because we have a nice, a really large pot for those that we'll keep on our patio because they'll probably do a little bit better. The pots will generally stay warmer than if you planted them right in the ground.
Now, how much is coming up already?
So far, not much. We only put the garden in last week, but we did buy our starter plants, so they are, you know, a lot of them have that start just from the greenhouse, but we will be checking every week to see what kind of progress we're making.
It is instantly gratifying to put in things like peas and beans. They seem to come up within days if you've got a good stretch.
Yes, we'll see some immediate gratification from our efforts.
What are you looking forward to seeing?
Honestly, probably our tomatillos. Apparently, you get a lot of tomatillos off of one plant, and we planted 8.
Wow.
So I'm expecting to have a lot of those. And they are also, I guess, able to grow quite well, even in our climate. So I'm excited to see if we can get some of those. I've never found one in a produce section nearby.
Mm-hmm. Now, once you have a whole bunch of tomatillos, what are you going to do with them?
Well, that's the next question, right? there's going to be a lot of salsa verde, I'm thinking, in my future.
It's one of those, you know, good news, bad news. Good news is you have a lot of tomatillos. Bad news is, ugh, how much salsa verde can I handle?
Well, exactly. And how much can I give away so that people don't want to talk to me anymore? You know, there's a fine line.
Yeah, they're almost like the pepper equivalent of zucchinis.
Yes, I think so.
Now, what do you enjoy about watching a garden develop over the summer?
I don't know. It is exciting to watch everything, you know, fill in the garden, and you get to see, you know, the different stages of the plants, and it's just interesting.
Do you have any bother from raccoons or skunks?
We do have some. We have some of both, actually, where we are. We have a lot of wildlife and a lot of deer.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that we know that they will try to get at, we've actually caged them this year. My husband built me a nice big a box for our lettuce, especially because they go straight for lettuce.
Sure.
So at least it is guarded from there. They can't actually get in and get to it.
I made the big mistake of putting blood meal and bone meal under the tomatoes, and
man,
every single one of them dug up by either a skunk or a raccoon. I don't know which, but that's what they wanted. Mercifully,
yep.
They didn't break the plants, but it's annoying to keep putting them back in the ground.
Yes, that is true. That's true. It's hard to get growth when they keep coming up, right?
Now, the garden is one part of your blog, but mostly it's about just food in general. Where does your interest in food stem from?
Actually, I've always been really blessed with being surrounded by good cooks and good food, so it was kind of a natural progression to me that once I moved out on my own and I was able to go out and explore the grocery store and, you know, bring home what I wanted to, I just got very passionate about learning how to cook.
And why the interest in local food in particular?
To me, it just makes sense to buy local. It's the best way of getting, you know, the best quality food that you can. If you can get it here and it hasn't been shipped for days and it, you know, it's the freshest it can be, and it supports local farmers. So to me, that's, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Now, I can't let you go without asking about the frilly apron title.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
Actually, I thought a lot about, you know, the kitchen and the things that you use in the kitchen, and something that's just a little bit kind of girly, and it reminds me a lot of my great-grandmother. So I, you know, aprons are just kind of like an old-school way of representing the kitchen.
And what's it like for you to put out a blog like that and then suddenly discover hits from all over the place, people you have no idea?
Surprising. I had no idea that you were able to reach an audience like that. I mean, different parts of the world. It's amazing.
Also a responsibility.
A little bit, you know, especially I think I've bitten off a bit with the garden posts because people are now wondering how we're doing all the time, so that's good.
And asking for advice, and you're thinking, man, I'm not one step ahead.
Well, you know, we're getting there. We're learning as we go, and hopefully it will help teach other people as well how to do it for yourself.
Well, listen, thanks so much for talking about it today, and certainly it was lovely seeing your blog, and we'll check in and see how your garden's growing sometime later in the summer.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tara McKenzie lives, cooks, and gardens in McLeod Hill, just outside of Fredericton. Her blog is called The Frilly Apron. You can find it online at thefrillyapron.com. You'll be able to find this interview tomorrow on our website as well, cbc.ca/shift, along with all the other interviews in our homegrown series. And if you know someone you think would make a great homegrown guest, just send us an email, shift@cbc.ca.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.